The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. Hello, people of Earth. It's Thursday night, May 2nd, 2024. It's 11 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States, 8 p.m. on the West Coast, 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Sydney, Australia. And here in Northeast Minneapolis, it's 10 p.m. Central Daylight Time. I am Jim Peters, and you are watching another edition of Jim Peters at Night, not coming from space. No, coming from Minneapolis. Hi, this is episode number 114, if you're keeping scoring your bingo card at home. Well, we took 2 days off. Sorry about that. Kind of had to. Got things going on. But we got a fantastic show tonight. Jeff Meyer is here with a CEO and publisher of Kong News, the grand poobah of conservative journalism in Minneapolis. And he has been saying for about 2 years now that things would be getting worse before they get better. And he's right. Things are getting worse. He nailed that one. All right. So what do we, and yeah, he's tonight. So let me tell you, we got it going on, folks. So Monday, Monologue Monday, we got a lot to cover, not only because it's a 3-day weekend, but we do 2 days off too. So I just yak like an idiot and you call in. And by the way, I'm very happy to tell you the Blog Talk Radio call-in number is running tonight. So we've been, in the last month, it's been off at least 5 and I think maybe 6 times. And of course, when the number fails, we can't broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, and people are not happy because I mean, at this point, you know, you can call in with your camera, and we encourage that. Talkers Magazine says we're the first talk show in America to take video phone calls from the public, and we are. That's true. But that said, the majority of the calls we get now are from audio only, or people listening on Blog Talk Radio. Reason, they have a fantastic live directory. They do. And they push the shows up into the directory depending on who's on right now. So it works out very well. And when I said, ow, I got to tell you. So this wasn't in my rundown tonight, but I was going to take the week of Memorial Day off. That's a Monday, of course. I think it's the 27th of May. I'm not sure. But now I'm taking the following week off because that following Monday, I'm having hip replacement surgery because I'm an old fucking fart. That's why. So I'm taking the whole week off because, you know, it's supposed to only take me two, three days to recover, but screw it. I'm not even going to push it. I'm assuming right now, I got to talk to the guys who do the month in review. I haven't done that yet. I'm assuming we will take Memorial Day off, but we will do shows for the rest of the week. That's what I'm assuming right now, Memorial Day. So, but you don't want to know about Memorial Day. You want to know about next week. Next Monday, Monologue Monday. Tuesday, Robert Powell. He's the author of A Scientist Explains, the book is called UFOs, A Scientist Explains What We Know and What We Don't Know. And he's a scientist. Now, he's got a really, really interesting pedigree. This guy was one of the developers of flash computer memory. You know that thumb drive, that USB drive you carry around in your pocket with all the porn so you can put it in any computer and see it at any time? You know that thing you got? Well, he was one of the inventors of that. And he was the director of research at MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, from 2007 to 2017. He founded the MUFON Science Review Board, and he's currently on the board of the Scientific Coalition for UAP Studies. The Scientific Coalition of UAP Studies. That is a group of scientists who are studying UFOs. And he wrote, the book just came out last week. I'm in the process of reading it. I'm going to try to digest as much as I can before we talk to him. We're talking to him on Tuesday. Wednesday, we're taking off because I have doctor's appointments. You don't want to know. Thursday, this is going to be really cool, too. We are running a UFO panel. It's going to be UFO night. We did a UFO night, I think, in November, I think. We're going to do another one. We have a panel set up. The panel right now, I can announce two of the three participants. Jazz Shaw, Salem Media guy who writes for UFOs for Salem Media, and John Greenwald, the guy who is the founder and curator of the Black Vault at theblackvault.com. And he's been on a million television shows. I mean, I've been trying to get this guy on forever. Of course, you know, leave it to Jazz. He knows him. So that was what Jazz called him. That was easy. So he's coming on with us. We're going to talk about this. I've told you this before. There's only one thing I've ever said about UFOs for certain, and that is I know that the federal government or somebody connected to it has in their possession at least 6 and probably 9 or more crashed extraterrestrial spacecraft. And how do I know that? Government documents. It wasn't a guess. It wasn't speculation. And it wasn't. There's so many government documents people have gotten from the Freedom of Information Act that reference UFOs, and John Greenwald has them all. I mean, this guy, he runs the Black Vault. It's at theblackvault.com. And right now, I just picked this off their website before we started here. The current number of government documents they have in their archives, 3,394,000 and change, almost 3.4 million documents they have. Yeah. So now, and this is the other thing, too. I've talked about this before. There's at least 100 documents going back 70, 80 years that reference UFOs. I know of only one single one that actually referenced aliens, and that's the one in the FBI vault. And I don't know the actual address. It's at the FBI archives. They have a memo in there, and I can't remember who wrote it, from the field to J. Edgar Hoover in the head office. I think it's dated 1958. I can't remember. And the memo, it's a four-page memo. The memo basically says, look, we have this crashed ET spacecraft and these four dead aliens. What do you want us to do with them? That's basically what the memo says. And the FBI says, oh, no, this is just a total misunderstanding. They admit the document's real. The document is real. But what was going on here was a total misunderstanding. There were no aliens. There's no crashed spacecraft. It was all just a complete, yeah, right. So special agencies, highly trained people, they can't tell the difference between communists and extraterrestrials. Right? Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah, they just made a mistake. So there's so much bullshit flying around, it's unbelievable. That's why we got to get Jeff on here to figure this out. So that's next week. We're trying to add a third person to the panel. I have some idea of who that's going to be, but we haven't done that yet. But anyway, that's going to be next Thursday, UFO night here. Now, we're talking to Jeff. I encourage you to call in when we have... We did our month in review last Monday. I did take them, but when we have four people on the screen, I don't like to add a fifth because all the pictures get really small and shit. But we don't have any trouble with this because both Jeff and I have huge heads. You notice when I turn Jeff's camera on. You can see mine right now. It's enormous. So I'm not too concerned about that. If you want to call on me, I encourage you to do so. Now, you do that by going to jimandnight.com/call we'll leave the ribbon up here on the bottom for a little while. You go to this address right here. You go to that address, and you click the big blue button at the top of the page. You go to a preview screen where you can check your camera and mic, and then you push the join button at the bottom, and you're in the queue. And I will put you on. Or tonight, it's working again, you can call us via audio only on your dialing on your phone with this number right here, 563-999-3435. That's 563-999-3435, and we'll put you on too. Or if you want to text us, we're taking texts in real time at 408-458-5088. That's 408-458-5088. The best telephone number on the planet. That is actually a Silicon Valley telephone number. It actually is. We got it by pure chance. It's just issued to us. So I got a screen here off the side. I'm taking your, if you have a question for Jeff, you can text it in if you don't want to talk to anybody or don't want your screen. I will remind you, if you call in with your camera, you know, your face will actually be on the screen. Some people don't want that. I mean, I found this out after doing this for 9 months. A lot of people don't call in with their camera because they don't want to be on the, they don't want their picture on the air. Okay, fine. Well, then dial in with a phone. Now, before we talk to Jeff, I'm going to show you his website. This is Conk News at conk.com, C-O-N-K.com. They're a fabulous sponsor. Jeff is a publisher and CEO of this organization, this enterprise, and this is a news aggregator. So what happens here is their servers at Conk, they go out on the internet and they collect the latest stories from 75 pre-approved news sources. So they take whatever's new. This happens eight times a day, once every 3 hours. They take whatever's new, grab those stories, grab the pictures, grab the links, and they put them on the front page here in chronological order, regardless of what source they're from. So it's a giant newspaper. And here's a really great thing. Not only do you not have to register for this, it's completely free. It's free, and you don't have to register to see it. It's on the front page. You go to conk.com, C-O-N-K.com, and you can read this. If you're a news junkie, you can spend 2 or 3 hours plowing through this. I mean, this front page here is quite long. There's 75 different news sources, and whatever's newest ends up at the top of the page, and it goes down, chronologically down. So the thing is, like I said, they revive this every 3 hours. You can come at 10 a.m., read a bunch of news. You can spend 2-3 hours doing it, come back at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and most of it's different. And the stuff that is as old is all pushed to the bottom of the page. So it's a fantastic news source. You cannot do better than this. Trust me, I use this all the time. I'm a proud former employee here. It's a great, great product. It really is. Check this out. Once again, conk.com, conk.com. And we'll put that away. And now, with any further ado, like he's French dip, you know. I'm going to play the 12-second bumper by Alex Kay, and then we're going to put Jeff on. Here we go. Jeff Meyer, hi.
I'm alive.
Yeah, you look great. Lighting's good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, what happened to your Conk News hat?
I left it
at the office.
I'm remote tonight, so.
Yeah. Oh, are you?
Yes.
You are, huh? Okay.
Yes.
That's cool. We're not in the six car garage then.
No. We're north of Highway 8. That's a reference in Minnesota that it gets a little goofy to get north of Highway 8. So.
Oh, it does, huh? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Thanks for the promotion of conk.com. I love that cartoon that's been stuck there for a couple days now with the abortionist and Christy Noem known as the puppy killer.
Yeah. So what do you know, something I got to admit, it doesn't really change my view of her. Some people are appalled. I'm not really appalled, but then again, I've read the instance when what happened. I don't understand why she killed the puppy, but I don't know.
I think it, you know, just for whatever reason, why she put that in a book, I don't, it's just that, you know, I'm a Adams morning viewer of
Morning Joe. So, yeah.
Yeah, just because I like the sexual tension between him and Mika.
Cause,
5 a.m.
Because she's not giving him any.
Yeah. And so, you know, they're just going off on what a horrible person she is. And, you know, they can't talk about abortion enough. It's so American in why we should be hated around the world.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, Jeff, you know, I got a really good ultra-liberal friend of mine I'm talking to, and him and I we can actually have conversations, although we agree on almost nothing. But, you know, he says, I don't know what he was talking about Trump, and, you know, he hates Trump, and he thinks Trump is evil and all that sort of stuff. And he says to me, he says offhand, he said, but you don't care about that stuff, do you? I said, no, I don't. You know, I mean, I don't care about Clinton. I don't, because here's the way I look at this. We're all fucking evil. I mean, I don't, you know, we are.
Right. We're human.
We're human. I don't know a single human that isn't flawed. I don't. We do stupid shit. I mean, it's like, it's just, it's the way of the world, you know? My only thing about a chief executive, because I think it's so damn hard, is I want, you got to find somebody who can actually do it. And most people who have the job can't do it. Most of them can't.
Correct. And especially when they have to make hard decisions.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's, you know, the prevailing wisdom is that's what she was trying to prove. I mean, is that the way you saw it?
You know, I didn't dig into it any more than what Joe and Mika talked about.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't watch. I don't know why these people think they need to write a book to explain their shit.
Well, yeah, that's right? It's a way.
Who cares what you did as a 14-year-old kid?
Yeah.
You had to do something to get to where you're at.
Right.
Obviously, that's
right,
you know, in your wake. But it, to put it in writing to me, I mean, they're egomaniacs, and that's why they do it.
Yeah.
They think you really should know.
Right.
And there's no bigger egomaniac than Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, you just and people that hate him. Two things. One, they don't know him. They're just hating him from what they hear from the news.
Right.
The other thing is the abortion issue is just it's been a ruse to keep the Republicans off message for basically my whole life. And again, if you're a minority, if you don't have skin like Jim and I, and you think abortion is okay, then you've been educated to be a true dumb American. Abortion clinics are set up to get rid of minorities. The whites that go in there, it's an inconvenience they're trying to get rid of.
Yeah.
The clinics are set up to get rid of minorities. They
yeah.
were set up by Margaret Sanger.
I was going to say, you need to get into the history of this because you were historically, you're totally correct.
Yeah. Margaret Sanger, who's a eugenist, so she believes certain races are just flawed because of that race.
And that's like the 1920s, right?
Yeah. Well, she isn't that old.
Maybe the 40s?
She wasn't 40s.
Yeah. Okay.
And she had a bad experience as a young child and probably was in her book, right?
Yeah.
To explain it. Her dad was a big-hearted man, and they lived, their farm was next to a railroad line, and the bums knew if you hopped off there, you could get a meal. Well, some bums showed up one night. Her dad wasn't there. They came in the house and beat the piss out of her mom, killed her dog. And she, obviously that's going to make an impression on you. And from that, she wanted, her mindset was if we get rid of the bums and the minorities, things will be better in life. And where are we after 60 plus million abortions? Are things any better? And so when the Republicans don't have the balls to say this, they want to make it a religious thing.
Yeah.
You'll meet your maker. I believe you'll meet your maker and that stuff's going to be replayed. You're going to say, yep, no,
right.
I regret it. I don't regret it. Whatever.
Yeah.
On this planet, when you're wearing your carcass, that system is set up to get rid of the downtrodden so that they can bring in Palestinians to take the housing that the abortion.
Well, I was just going to say, Jeff, I mean, right now, the globalists, that's all, they've pretty much been upfront about the fact they want to lower the population, that there's too many people. I mean, they pretty much said that. You know?
Right. And Margaret Sanger and Bill Gates, his father, early founders of Planned Parenthood.
I did not know that.
Yep. Yep. Bill Gates' dad was a big eugenist. Obviously, Bill is couched as a computer nerd.
Yeah.
But again, they, to me, that the Republicans, if Trump wanted to really twist this thing back at the Democrats, he would bring Margaret Sanger's picture and set it on a fucking easel on the back of that stage and say, here's the gal that started Planned Parenthood. You should read up about her, and here's her website.
You know, the thing that I've said this before, I don't have any, Planned Parenthood has a right to exist just because that's their opinion, but it bothers the crap out of me that they get government money from the government. Why? It's like that and NPR. What? You know, we've talked about this before, you know, broadcast, you know, media is a big thing with mine. 50, 60 years ago, you could make an argument broadcasting served a function. Now, no way in hell. I mean, shit, we're doing this for like $200 a month right now. I mean, you don't need, it's completely irrelevant now. And yet, what are they getting? Millions of dollars? And their argument is only 7% of it comes from the government. Well, no, none of it should come from the government. And I don't understand for the life of me why the government is giving Planned Parenthood money, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, and in NPR's case, think of all the corporations that donate to their fund drive. And so that's a tax loophole for them.
Oh, yeah. And then the thing is, they underwrite stuff. They're commercials. Who the fuck are we kidding, you know? It's just they can't actually call them that because of their charter, you know?
Yes.
It's just bullshit. It just pisses me off. You know, I want to get back to the thing you're talking about Mika and Joe, you know, about and people being flawed. You know, it's balls for them to complain about shit like this because they started stupping each other. They were both married, and then they both got divorced from their spouses so they could stup each other some more. And what the fuck is that all about? And you're complaining about other people? I mean, shit, you know?
Yeah. But they don't, yeah, but that's just, I mean, they are fun to watch.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Obviously I'm deep into conservative news, you know?
Yeah.
I'm viewing Conks a lot of the time during the day. One, to make sure things are functioning. And I've always said, it's just good to know what the other side is saying. More, you know what they're saying, it's how they're saying it. What's their angle? You know, how are they viewing the day's events? Because yeah, the big thing is Kristi Noem shot a dog when she was young because it was disobedient, and minority girls are going to Planned Parenthood to get rid of their disobedient little shits. And the other thing is, do you remember that commercial that they were running where the cop pulled over the two white girls and they were supposedly going to an abortion clinic in a different state?
No, actually, no, I've never seen this, no.
So this was a couple weeks ago. And again, I...
Did this actually get run on TV somewhere? Do you know?
Somewhere it did, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And it must not have been very successful because you don't hear them talking about it anymore.
No, I read a lot of news. I haven't heard about
it.
Uh-huh. Of course it was.
They were showing this.
Right.
And I thought, well, here's the Republicans' chance. They should have had one queued up. They knew this thing was being made, where a cop, white cop, pulls over two black girls and says, are you going, trying to get to Planned Parenthood? Yes, officer, we are. Well, hold on. I'm going to give you a police escort.
Oh, Jeff, you are so racist.
I mean, but that's what,
no, I know, but that's
how you counter that.
Yeah. No. And the
if
thing is,
says that's a racist ad, you go, well, what part is racist?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. But this is my problem too. I'm tired of them throwing it, just insulting everybody and calling everybody racist. I mean, at this point, and especially people in Congress, you should have enough balls just to slough this off. I mean, why do you care if people are calling you racist? I mean, shit. You know, I don't know. Well.
So quit being he, she, or whatever your pronoun is.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't change the fact that Ms. Noem's still pretty hot, too.
Yeah. When you get your new hip, are you going to be able to get your Jimmy Connors tennis shorts back on?
Oh, my God. Oh, you remember those, huh?
You're a child of the 70s, a tennis player from the 70s.
That's right. That was me. That's right. Oh, God. Oh, my wife is so, she still makes jokes about that, man. So I'm going to tell you a story. You know, I don't know if I ever told you this. So I'm coming back from college. I went to school at the University of Miami, right? And I'm coming back, and I was playing tennis at school, and I literally went to the airport in my tennis shorts, right? I got my tennis outfit. I got my little polo shirt on with my U of M insignia, and I get on my short shorts, and I get on the plane, and I land in Minneapolis, and a bunch of guys come to pick me up. Okay, fine. And so we go downtown to Moby Dick's, which you probably remember Moby Dick's, but most people don't know what I'm talking about. It was a bar in downtown Minneapolis that was constantly in trouble. The police were basically parked there permanently. The place was it was huge, and there's constant fights. Anyway, people don't remember this, but this is like 1977, I think. They had a disco in the back room. They actually had a discotheque. No freaking lie. People forget about this. They had a disco. So we're in there. We're drinking. And we're dancing, and I'm dancing in my little tennis outfit. And this guy, this biker, he's about 6'7". He comes up to me. He's got a ZZ Top beard. And he comes up to me and he says, "You know, I don't like the way you look." And I said, "Okay, no problem." And we left because I'm a pussy. Oh my God, this is terrible, awful. Oh, Jesus. Hey, so have you been following the Trump trial?
On and off. I know he's always getting in trouble.
Yeah. They fined him another $4,000 today. And here's the deal. I think they're starting to realize, this is where I brought this up. I want your take on this. I think they're starting to realize that this is backfiring because the judge has threatened to put him in jail, but I don't think they will. And also, they've done an about face on about the fact, you know, he's bitching him on about the fact the judge wouldn't let him go to his son's graduation. Well, the judge had a change of heart. He does get to go. And I think they've come to the realization that the harder they push him, the more popular he becomes. You know, I think they're in their stupid little fucking minds. I think they finally figured this out.
Right. Yeah. Oh, for sure. And that's where the lawfare. You're running down a razor blade.
No shit.
You slip. You cut right. off a leg or you get a terminal cut. I think for him, he's used to living in an airplane. So for him, he's gone. You know, that thing ends Tuesday. He's gone because they're not doing it Wednesday. And he's back there Thursday morning. Yesterday he was in Milwaukee. Or Wisconsin, Waukesha, Wisconsin, and Michigan.
Yeah.
And Biden, they said at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, he had 6 minutes and half of it he spoke about Trump.
Oh, did you? I saw the whole thing. I watched it all.
If you're in sales, it's really bad to talk about your competition.
No, absolutely. That's exactly what I thought while he was doing it. He spent half the time talking about Trump. And so,
yeah.
That's nuts. I don't know. I don't know if they don't know how to handle this or if it's because he's so damn feeble and they don't have anything to do. Well, even getting back to the abortion thing, I mean, it just seems like the Dems are playing this so hard because it's the only card they have, you know?
Yeah, and it affects very few people.
Right, it does. That's correct.
You know?
Yeah, less and less all the time, too.
Yeah, and the problem, you know, with time always can be good, but it causes problems because your history is behind you. So the longer you go. So now, you know, that first article on our website at conk.com was saying that occupying a building now is a peaceful protest. Remember the January 6th thing was this, they're occupying this building, you know, and all of a sudden now that pendulum swings back to the Democrats, and Biden obviously doesn't know how to handle this.
Right.
He doesn't know how to address it. And these protesters, you've said it before, it takes about 24 hours to 48 hours to fly everyone in before the fun starts.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
You said that when the George Floyd thing was going to go down. You're like, oh, we've got a couple of days in peace and quiet. And
that's
then
right.
Blow up.
That's right. That's exactly what happened. That's right.
And so I think there's a couple of good things. A friend of mine was saying his daughter's a junior in high school, so she's getting ready to start looking for colleges. And I'm like, why would you send her to college? Well, first of all, why would you waste the money? What does she want to be?
Yeah, right.
Well, I'm like, so she's not looking at a hard science or...
Right.
You know,
she's not a driven person. She doesn't didn't come out of the womb knowing what she wanted to do. Right.
She's a kid that's trying to figure it out. Okay.
Right.
First of all, I said, well, why don't you just have her go work a few places.
Right.
That she thinks she might want to get into. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being a clerk somewhere to figure out how the business you think you want to be in. I mean, they do that for doctors. They have you, you know, when you're in pre-med and all that stuff. You're bouncing around those doctor offices to see if you even like what's going on.
No, I'm totally with you on this. If kids don't know what they want to do, I don't think they should go to college. You know, if you know, like, I want to be a lawyer or an engineer, you know, or you have something. Like my niece, God bless her heart, and I don't know how she ended up doing this. She's an interior architect. She doesn't do the outside of the building. She only does the inside. She actually wanted to do this when she was like 16 years old. She said, I want to be an interior architect. I said, how did you come up? It's such a specialty, you know? So she went to Kansas State, and I didn't know this. It's one of the three major colleges. It's one of the few places in America where if you want a job in interior architecture and you say you're from Kansas State, that lends a little cachet. You know, it's kind of like MIT with engineering. And that's exactly what she did. She went on. She went through school. She blew through it. Got great grades, got a great job. I mean, she's like 25, 26 years old. She's making good money for her age. You know, so I mean, but she's an exception. Most kids aren't like that. Most kids don't know what they want to do. And this is when you get to the point that, with a positive side of, well, fuck around and find out, you know? It's like, just go get a job, go to Europe. I don't know what the fuck, you know, just do something, you know, until sooner or later you will stumble on what you want to do, you know?
Well, you'll accumulate less debt.
No shit.
If you patiently go about it.
Right, right. And the other thing is, speaking of the debt, unless you're one of those kids who wants to be an engineer, you know, and MIT does hold some cachet still, you're in one of those professions, you might as well go to the absolute cheapest college possible, because I don't know about you, I'm fucking 68 years old. No one's ever actually asked me where I went to college. No one's ever asked. I put it on my resume. You know, I do, but no one's ever asked me, you know?
Well, and these are some of these lies that are starting to bubble up, you know, that our education system, more money is going to fix it, make it better.
Shit.
That's a lie.
That's a total
lie. If you get a high school degree, you need to go on to college. That's another total lie that's, you know, and having these protests at the college just helps. Should help parents say, I don't think you want to be put in that situation.
If I was if I was on campus right now and these protests are going on, like if I was at Columbia, I'd just fucking quit. I'd go into the registration office and said, I'm done. I want a partial refund, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
I want a full refund.
Yeah, you're right. That's right. I want a full refund.
And those are the things, if that's happening, obviously they're not going to talk about it. But these colleges have gotten over their skis. We've said it for 5-6 years that the college tuition doesn't merit the job, the starter jobs you need to start somewhere and climb up the ladder. If you want to launch out now, like your niece, she's got a nice paying job. But that's fine there. But most people have to climb up. One, to figure out what they want to do, and two, to become an expert at it.
Yeah, right.
You know, it takes 10,000 hours. It takes about 5 years to get some expertise.
My niece is actually an exception. She's not the rule. I mean,
right.
Most people are not like that. And I still don't know. I've even asked her, where did you get the idea when you're like 13 years old, you want to do interior architecture? And she says she doesn't know, you know?
Yeah, you got it.
So, I mean, just some people just kind of like, you know, come out of the womb wanting to do shit and something, but most people don't. They got to figure it out, you know?
So anyway, that this Occupy, this Palestinian thing is bad news because it's one of these things that can spin out of control.
I don't know if you heard the show before you came on, but when I did my introduction to you, I was talking about the fact that you've been talking for 2-3 years about the fact it's going to have to get worse before it gets better, and it's getting worse.
Yeah.
You know, you were absolutely right about that. I mean, and the thing is, I'm the guy telling people to get off their lawn. I know that. I don't care. And my wife makes fun of me. She says, you're just an old curmudgeon. Every generation says this. No, these kids are spectacularly stupid. I mean, we were stupid. We were. But these kids are way, way more stupid than we were.
And what they're lacking is the ability to critically think.
Yes, that's right.
I think they look at their phone, and if something's on there, that's all they need to know. They don't sit there and look at it and go, that's not what, I've had that situation. That isn't what happened. And they dig back into it to figure out this person's full of shit.
Well, Jeff, you own a news website. Let me ask you this. So 60 years ago, when people were actually reading real newspapers and had to go through a printing press every day, and the process of printing a newspaper is ridiculously complicated, you know? And so everyone kind of assumed that if it was in the newspaper, because it was so hard to put out a newspaper, that basically it had to be true. That was, you know, and of course, sometimes it wasn't, but that was the assumption everybody went on under. Now, 60 years later, you're talking about social media platforms where anybody can post anything, and yet somehow, for some reason, if it's on a screen, people seem to think it's true, and I don't understand why.
Our society's been conditioned. I mean, that's why small companies run ads on TV. It legitimizes you just because you're on TV. It's like, oh, they must be doing something right. They're on TV. You know, and the thing was, and Conaway talks about this, Tim Conaway, there were editors. If you brought garbage article, and an editor went through it and said, well, where's this source and where's that source? And you said, you didn't want, and then everyone was on your shit because there was two columns that you were supposed to have something for it.
Right.
Where the current, system, you know, and they say, you know, like 80% of these kids that are 20s and older, are 20 to 30, are getting their news from their phone.
Yeah.
You know, from like a social, like Facebook or
TikTok,
wherever they're. Yeah.
That's the worst.
So I don't know. The education system is dumb. The biggest injustice is there's no critical thinking. I just saw a friend of ours that's retiring. They have their years in so they can retire. But they're bitching about how terrible it is in the classroom and this and that.
They're teachers?
A teacher.
Yeah.
And so I get the kick under the table from my better half that I'm supposed to keep my mouth shut.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just a bobblehead.
Right.
I'm sure it's terrible. Because we've talked about our friends that are educators, and it's like you took the money, the additional money, and with taking this additional money, the school basically gets to shove whatever they want through you into your classroom.
Yeah.
So if you're pissed off that these kids are out of control, your biggest thing was, I'm not paid enough. Not these kids are out of control. That's another one of these. There's enough pain going on. There's these teachers that are close to being able to retire are just getting the hell out of it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No. I don't think any reasonable adult would put up with this crap. But people do a lot of stuff for money. But
Yeah, and that's what's happening in education. You get the money, now you get this crap of a curriculum to teach, because you're really not teaching them.
Yeah, yeah, but you're absolutely right. There's no, I mean, I thought when we went to school, the idea is they're supposed to teach us how to think, and that's completely been lost. I mean, now it's just, it seems like.
And if you weren't thinking in some kind of logical sense, they'd say, hey, dummy, that doesn't make any sense. Now they can't call you a dummy because you're going to, they're going to get sued or kicked or fired. And the kid's not going to get any better because they're not stopped and said, you're thinking incorrectly.
Yeah. Did you hear about this woman at Columbia, and her name is, this is actually her name. Not a joke. Her name is Joanna King Slutsky. That's her name. And she was a woman who got up and said, you know, we're taking over the building, whatever building it was, but could somebody bring us some food? And on Twitter, in the community notes, somebody wrote, you know, the Columbia cafeteria is open at this time. It's just like, so, I mean, they're real social, they're warriors, you know, it's like,
yeah, they're planners.
Yeah. Right. I know. Somebody called DoorDash. Hey, I want to change the subject here because you're a business expert and I found this kind of interesting. So the Federal Trade Commission, which seems to be becoming evil with every passing day, I don't know if you know this, there's two companies named Tapestry and Capri, and they make women's clothes. They're fashion companies, you know, and the FTC is trying to block their merger. And the reason is because they say it would reduce competition. And yet, you know, they make completely unique merchandise. So, I mean, one of the examples here they used apparently in this report, in denying this, I don't know if it's actually been denied permanently or just tentatively, but they called $700 handbags, which I think Tapestry makes, they called them quote unquote affordable. You know, it doesn't make any sense. Then here's another statistic, and you probably know this. There's 33 million small businesses in the United States classified as small business, but they make up 99.9% of all businesses. Small businesses do, whatever the category. I don't know how what the legal definition of that is. I suppose your budget is under like $5 million or something like that. I don't know.
No, it's bigger than that.
Uh-huh.
Still, there, you know, the number of businesses that get over $5 million in sales, that's a small percentage.
Yeah.
You know, most small businesses are doing, you know, $3 million to $500,000. But yeah, there's the interesting thing with what's going on. I see, and you know, there was another thing that the Biden administration put out on limiting employers' ability to put, I'm going to miss the name of it, where they restrict you finding another job. What do they call those when you sign them? Non-competes.
Yeah, right.
So there's a big thing that's coming out that you can't have a non-compete.
I think Biden actually signed that. I think it's law now.
That was signed. So yeah, that's going to unwind a bunch of stuff. And again, those are, and in certain businesses, obviously you got to have that if you're an R&D company.
Right. I don't understand. Literally, I mean, you could quit, like, you know, if you're like with, you know, tech company A and you're working on some secret shit, you could quit and then go across the street the next day and get a job at tech company B and take all your knowledge with you. That's crazy.
Right. Right. And it may not be your knowledge. It may be the person standing next to you that hasn't quite figured it out. They're going down the right trail. And you're like, oh, I think if I leave here and I go to company B and tell them, well, this is as far as I've seen it, you got a way to finish this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are the things between the non-competes and this whole sole entrepreneur, solopreneur, 1099, what I mean, however you want to, someone who wants to just work for themselves and have several sources of revenue, those are super crippling to our free economy.
Well, what you know, what's also crippling, and from what I, you have experience with this firsthand, supposedly the regulations from the Biden administration are even worse than the Obama administration, and that was bad.
Yeah,
I mean,
I knew several
people who owned companies during the Obama years who said the regulations were so bad they barely, you know, if it was got just a little worse, they'd have to get out, you know. And now people are saying this is actually worse. Is that true?
For sure. And the problem, Jim, is now the states are like Minnesota is taking on a lot of these. I mean, these are policies for, you know, publicly traded companies where you get a certain amount of time off. And I mean, where it's mandated. Again, I'm an employer and I work with a bunch of entrepreneurs. We want to give everyone as much time off as possible, but if no one's there to handle the sale, we're done.
No shit.
So the extra week you wanted, you might have 52 weeks of time off, no pay, because this business failed.
Yeah, right. That's right.
And so I think our education system sets kids up to think that business evil, government is good. And so when kids get out, they're trying to sort that out. And so when the government, who they've been told is good, says, well, everyone should get an extra 4 days of vacation. Well, if you have 10 people, that's another 40 days where you're doing someone else's job.
Yeah. Yeah. And why is it that, you know, this is a rhetorical question because I think I know the answer, but still. Why is it that politicians can't figure that out? I mean, I know most of them have never run businesses, and which is the terrible thing. Most of them don't have any experience doing really anything. But still, you would think the logic would just dictate that. Just like the thing about the minimum wage. You'd think anybody would figure out that if you raise a minimum wage, you either have to pass that on to the consumer or you're going to have to lay people off. I mean, you'd think it's just math. You know?
Well, yeah, the minimum wage thing is deeper than that too, because in most collective bargaining agreements, there's an escalator when the minimum wage goes up, there's an escalator in a union contract that says if that goes up, we all get more money.
Right.
Well, the biggest unions are government, state, the state, the school district, all those unions love that minimum wage jumping up because they all get more money.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not saying people don't deserve more money, but at some point, like we see now, the foreclosure rate is up. The interest rate is insane and it's going to have to go up. There's no way they can lower this interest rate this year. And they're, you know, so they set up everyone with a lie for the election year, like, oh, no, we should see a couple of quarters of easing. That's just not going to happen. And I see it even in the car, you know, new cars. You can go to a car lot and they'll say, well, the interest rate on that car loan is 7%. You can go to another car lot. And if you use like Ford credit, they might have 60 months at 2.9%.
But they're rolling the interest rate into the price of the car, right?
Well, to some degree they are. The big thing I think is if they don't move the cars, their whole system shuts down.
Yeah.
You know, so they're risking, we'll have to repo that car if you can't make the payments, but at 2.9%, you got a way better chance than at 7.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and what is, they've been, they being the Biden administration, you are trying to push these electric cars onto people And, you know, it seems like right now, and you mentioned this before too, people are kind of waking up. People are figuring this out. So they're pushing a product that basically people don't want, or actually, to be more precise, everybody who wants an electric car has already bought one. You know, there's, yeah. I mean, so the demand for these cars have crashed. The lots are filled with electric vehicles nobody wants. The technology is kind of embryonic, and especially if you live in northern climates like we do, those cars don't work that well, even though, I mean, you drive around Minneapolis, there's Teslas all over the place. But still, I don't understand why people buy them. But then again, I'm one of those guys who lives in the city and doesn't have a garage, too. You know, my affluent friend has a heated garage, and he says, I hardly ever see the winter, and he's right, he doesn't. But still, you know, pretty much everyone who has one of these cars has bought one already. So where did the car companies... I mean, I'm starting to realize that the press and the leftist fucking organization is so good at pressing, and they convinced all these car companies, oh, people are going to want these cars. And I think anybody who knew anything about anything knew this was going to happen. Am I just full of shit here?
No, you're 100% correct. If the market doesn't drive the demand naturally, then you're screwed.
Yeah.
You know, then you got to incentivize it. Well, if you incentivize it, someone's losing, whether the government's
right.
subsidizing it so the taxpayers lose, or the business that's incentivizing it, they're losing profitability, which in these times.
But Jeff, seriously,
you can be done.
I don't think you have to be like a fucking PhD to figure that out, do you? I mean, that's my problem. That's what I don't understand.
Our governing class doesn't live anywhere in the arena that we live in, right?
Yeah.
Most of them are attorneys. A lot of now the state, the local candidates are mostly like out of the school districts.
Yeah.
Right? They're school administrators or something. And so they just think the money shows up. They
yeah.
don't have any clue of what it takes to get it through the system.
And the public seems to be getting really, really tired of people who can't relate to them, you know?
Yes, yes.
This is
on both sides. You know, it's a uniparty.
Yeah.
And neither party has, you know, the Democrats have said, we're going to solve this poverty issue. And the Republicans say, no, you can do it our way. Well, neither way has worked.
Right.
Because none of them have really tried. Why would you try to fix poverty? If people can make their own decisions, they don't have to worry about going to get a government check. They don't need the government.
Well,
so they're not going to fix that.
Jeff, by extension, you look at all these stupid kids rioting, you know, okay, they want communism, or they've been told that they want that or whatever. And, I was thinking about this afternoon. There's never been any proof that communism works. Capitalism is the only – capitalism may be highly flawed. It might be, but it's still the only single system that actually creates money and actually generates wealth. It's the only one. It's the only one that works. There's never been any communist or socialist system that's ever worked, because it gets down to what Margaret Thatcher said, and that is sooner or later you run out of other people's money. And the thing is, so – why is it that we have to do this dance over and over and over again? Because people just don't believe this is, you know, they're, I mean, I've got friends who even say that. They said, well, socialism has to work because no one's done it right. No, it's not going to work. It just doesn't.
Right.
So how many years do we have to do? I mean, the Russian Revolution was, 120 years ago. How many times do we have to do this? I mean, you know, I don't know. It just really bothers me. I'm bothered.
But that's humanity's problem. The always thinking of someone's getting a better shape than I am, and not ever coming to the terms of that will never go away. You know, you can show up in a room thinking you're doing all right, and some jackass walks in that looks like you or me, and they're like, they're better off than me, son of a bitch. What
yeah,
did I miss?
But you know, you're right, because
that happens all the way up.
It does.
Trump walks into a room and he's the pauper.
Yeah. Oh, my accountant has worked with many, many very wealthy people. And, you know, she said what I've always thought was true. And she's told me that the thing is, at some point, it doesn't come down to the fact that people want the money. It's just a way to keep score.
Yes.
You know, if one guy's got $10 million, he's got $15 million, well, okay, he's winning the game, you know?
Right. I mean, it's the human nature. But going the communist way doesn't help anyone.
No.
No one gets to have the 10 or the 15.
That's right. That's exactly correct. Right. And also the problem, and you're alluding to this, is envy. And the thing is, if you take envy out of it, the thing about capitalism is that, well, okay, you know, he maybe have 15 million, I have 10 million, but I still have 10 million. You know what I mean? It's like, I can,
yeah.
I'm still doing well.
Yeah. The system wants you to want more. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why the world hates America, because we chew through things. I mean, how many thrift stores can you have in the Twin Cities?
Oh, I love the dollar store, Jeff. Me and the Dollar Tree are like this.
Yeah. But you know, that's part of the human nature thing, which is fine. You want, you know, you got a car, you want a better car.
Yeah.
That's good. Just remember, the system is sitting there going, great. Because we get 50% of all your productivity.
That's the other thing, too. At what point are people going to say enough taxes are enough? I mean, Biden's already talking about raising. I mean, we're taxed for fucking everything. Fees, you know, licenses. It's like it just goes on and on and on. And I'm just waiting for people to say, no, make this fucking stop. I don't understand. And not only that, they blow the money. It'd be one thing if it was going to some good purposes, but half of it is literally just flushed down the toilet.
Well, yeah, a lot of it, we don't even know where it goes.
No, that's right. We don't. No.
They're still chasing down, $300 million or billion that went over to Ukraine, and they're not sure whose pocket it ended up in.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they sent that money to Ukraine with no expectation of any auditing. They got no auditing back. That's stupid. I mean, you don't.
Right.
I mean, okay. Even if you know, we can argue about whether they should even give the money. But if you're going to give them the money, you should get an accounting of what happened to it. I mean, you should. I mean, you know.
Yeah. But again, our media is they are just suckers for helping the misdirection. I mean, Netanyahu was on the ropes after they dropped that bomb through that foreign aid van.
Yeah.
Killed all those workers. I mean, it really looked like he was going to get run out of Dodge.
Yeah.
The American colleges start to do their stupid shit. Netanyahu's chuckling over there.
Oh, God, yeah.
You never hear anything about what he's doing now. It's all about what's going on at Columbia or UCLA.
Well, I have heard, Jeff, that the polls in Israel have done a complete turnaround. People are supporting him now. I mean, you're right. He was really on the ropes. He was.
Yeah.
But that seems to have turned around right now. So.
Well, and the big thing is Hamas has never said, everyone else is saying we should figure out a ceasefire. But you said it for years. Bill Clinton walked away from the Camp David Accords, or I'm not sure what they were called, shaking his head like, well, he got everything he needed, and he still said no.
That's right. Yeah. No, I know. And people forget this. Gaza Hamas is the official government of Gaza. It was actually elected in. Now, they've canceled the elections ever since. The last poll I saw is 3/4 of the native Gazans support Hamas. 3/4 of them, you know? I mean, this is like, people aren't even like scooping up even the basic news on this. I just find it unbelievable. And these kids don't know shit.
Yeah, and if you ask these college kids, do you think Hamas is going to be able to rebuild Gaza? Oh, you know, they're going to say, sure. I mean, they have no clue that the Jews built that whole area and then left it for
That's
the
right. They basically gave it to them. That's right. I know. You know, that's the thing. You've got one of the most civilized societies on the planet, And Tel Aviv, I've never been there, but God bless them. Supposedly, it's one of the most incredible cities on earth, and also probably has more tech businesses than anywhere out of Silicon Valley. And then you got the Palestinians in Gaza who are basically like living in 1600. I don't, you know.
Right. Yeah, they got nice beaches.
You're right. That's it.
Right. And I mean, the progress, you know, Israel's way more progressive.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, you know, homosexuality isn't put down there. I mean, all that stuff is welcome there.
I've been saying this for weeks. The funniest single thing I've ever heard ever is queers for Palestine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You do that. You go over there.
Yeah. Do that with your headscarf on, and you'll see it fly off as you pass the first floor of the 10-story building.
That's right. Oh, my God.
But again, that's why critically, Dwayne taught you critically think. You would start to say, well, what does go on over there? Who, what do they make? Have I ever gotten a T-shirt that says made in Gaza?
Yeah.
Or a pair of sneakers or a pencil? Anything? No, nothing.
No. You've been reading this book called Conversations with God. We've been talking about it. Now, who wrote this again? Neil, what's his name? Neil what?
Neil Donald Walsh.
Now, you're not the only person who brought this up. So I had Bruce Solheim on the show last week or the week before, and you mentioned it, and several other people, his appearance seemed to strike a chord with a lot of people, you know, because first of all, he said some on the surface, what he said was really, really fucking weird. I mean, he said he's been talking to ETs all his life since he was a little kid and all this sort of stuff. And he's wrote books about this. But then on the other hand, I had a friend of mine who watches the show regularly. He doesn't buy any of the UFO shit at all, none of it. And even he said, I watched that guy. He's a college professor. He said he's a defense contractor. You can't watch that guy and think he's nuts. You know, it's like the stuff he said, but, you know, you're alluding to what he was talking about. And that was, you know, basically it's a message of love, basically.
Yeah, right. The Conversations with God is a four-book series, and they talk about realms, right?
Yeah.
That same thing Bruce was talking about. I was like, holy cow.
Yeah.
This is pretty, to me, it's just one of those times in my life where, like, the breadcrumbs are leading somewhere, not just happenstance.
Right.
And he said, the love is going to come internally. And that's the whole, you know, as human beings, we sit here and wait. If you're a believer, you wait. Is Jesus coming back? If you're a Christian, right?
Yeah.
Is Jesus coming back? You wait for that next promotion. You wait. And that's just one of those things in this book, that's what God says. It's, you know, what are you waiting for? Everything you can want to do is already there. You're asking for stuff. It's there. You're not seeking it. You're trying to get it.
Well, I was talking about this before we went on the air about the fact you've always said this as a business person, that hope is not a strategy. And I that maybe applies to life in general too, you know?
Yeah. Well, you hope, if you don't have faith, hope is worthless. You can hope for stuff, but if you're just hoping for it to show up,
right.
You know, that's what faith, having faith in a higher power, or that's God. In my case, I would call it God. Gives you hope, but you can't just sit here and say, I hope.
No.
I don't believe if you don't have faith.
You can.
And I think that was it. Both your guests, Bruce and
Kathleen,
the other gal,
yeah,
who's had contact with other people from other realms. I like Bruce called them NHIs.
Non-human intelligence. Yeah.
Non-human intelligence.
Right.
Great. great thing.
Yeah.
But that's what Neil's conversation with God is that voice in your head is this spirit that you have. You know, you're having a conversation with yourself, which is your spirit self. It's not your carcass. It's the other side.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I think it's interesting when they talk about, well, we need to see some UFOs, or I need to see Jesus come back, or whatever that is. And I always put it now after reading these books, it's like talking to someone with two people that are eyewitnesses to a car crash. If Jesus showed up again, just like when I believe he did before, him dying and resurrecting didn't wipe out the Jewish religion, right?
That's correct. It didn't.
I mean, it's like, well, wait, hold on here. He was a Jew, did a complete turnaround, said that stuff that they're teaching isn't relevant anymore, and still there's a Jewish faith.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, to me, it's super interesting how we're only going to see it internally. Obviously, Bruce knows there's more to this realm he's in because of his contact with his NHI. I forget, what was his name? Abnar or something?
Anzar. A-N-Z-A-R. Right. Uh-huh.
And he said, I've talked to this guy my whole life. I didn't understand it until 2016. And so to me, that was like hope. That to me is hope, right?
Yeah.
This isn't something like your niece. She knew at a young age and followed that, never questioned it.
Right.
And in the case of a lot of religious faith and belief, it does take a lifetime to figure it out.
I don't know if you caught this when I was talking to Kathleen. I brought up something she brought up in one of her books almost in passing. And, you know, you talking about the fact that, you know, believing in stuff you can't see. And she came up with a great analogy, said, well, radio waves, you can't see radio waves, but they're real. And she's right. You can't see them, you know, right. But they're all over the place. And we're doing this partly because of radio waves, you know. I mean, just because you can't see something doesn't mean it isn't real, you know.
I loved her answer when you said, okay, why would you have to come down and sample human stools?
Yeah.
For 100 years. Yeah. And she very calmly said, well, if you're measuring the contamination or the poisoning going on to the human race, that's the best place to something.
It is. No, that's exactly what she said. You're right. And I never thought of it. It never occurred to me. Yeah, my friend.
I just love the way she delivered her answers to the questions were like, they weren't, you know, like some bullshit. It was like, well, this would be the reason. If they're worried about how we're doing, that's how they're going to monitor us.
Right, right.
Right. Oh. And in Bruce said it in Conversations with God, both places, they're like, you aren't going to blow up the world. We're not going to let you nuke the world.
Right, right.
You can get one or two off.
Yeah.
But we're not going to let you wipe this thing out because they're coming here for something, right?
Yeah.
They're coming here to learn more or maybe to remember where they were at one time.
Jeff, I've never asked you this before. You know, I don't know if you've noticed this, but this thing about whether Truman should have dropped the bombs on Japan in 1945, it always raises its ugly head every now and then. Personally, don't understand. You know, people said, well, he shouldn't have done that. It was brutal. But there's two ways to look at that. On the one hand, you could say he saved a lot of lives because it thwarted a conventional invasion, which would have been just disastrous for everybody. But on the other hand, the reason we're not dropping bombs anymore is because we saw what it did. If you didn't do it once, I hate to say this. I think you had to do it once to show the world how terrible it was. You know, otherwise people wouldn't have grasped it. Do you have any thoughts on this?
I think you're right on. People had to witness it.
Yeah.
And that this wasn't a car crash with two people having different stories.
Yeah.
Everyone that either was there at the time or came there later, or, I mean, and so that's why we know if like one of these nuclear plants has an issue, everyone's like, oh no, it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
Because we saw what the devastation those two bombs did.
Yeah. Although I do want to bring up what Patrick Moore has said many times, and that is, you know, for all the talk and all the terror that people are so scared about nuclear power, there's only been one really bad accident in like 70 years, you know.
Right.
And not only that, those plants are old now. If we built a new one now, it'd even be safer than that. So, I don't know. You know, I want to get back to this book you're talking about. And here's my problem with people that don't believe in God. In my mind, I can prove God exists. And here's my proof. We're here. We're talking to each other. Like, I don't understand. Do you need more proof than that? I mean, this
right.
is just the fact we're on the fucking planet walking around. It's just fucking incredible. I mean, shit, you know?
Yeah, it didn't come out of some big blast and then come back together.
Yeah, no, it didn't.
You know?
No.
And he said, and Walsh asked God at least a dozen times in here for more proof. You know, more proof. And he says, well, what more proof do you need? You see me everywhere you look. Look at nature. Look at how things work.
Yeah. You know, for people grounded in science.
You got the evening. You got the sunrise and the sunset.
Yeah. The guy who, Francis Crick, who was one of the inventors or discoverers of DNA, he said, DNA is so complex, it could not have been done by, it couldn't have happened by random evolution. And I totally agree with him. It couldn't have. It's so ridiculously complicated that shit just doesn't happen, you know? And then I know people say, well, we're getting back to creationism, but I think we are. Because it's like, you know, evolution maybe may work on some level, but doesn't explain everything. It's just like the difference between classical physics and quantum physics. You know, they both exist in the same world, but it's like you need one to explain the other. I don't know. I don't.
Right. Yeah. And again, the major religions want this power of fear, right? So
yeah.
They want you to, you know, it's creation. No, it's not. And so that battle between people, it's like our political parties. You got to get in one of the two tents.
Right, right.
We can't just show up and say, we're human beings here in America, and this thing is not working right for anyone.
No, that's true.
And if you say it's working for you, explain how it's working for you. Because taxes suck. They drag everyone down. People say they're not that bad. They're bad.
Yeah, they are.
Especially if you're on the lower end of the scale. They're punishing down there.
Right.
Well, you get a tax refund. Big deal.
Yeah, really.
It's not
I know.
Like it's $200,000. It's
yeah.
$4,000.
Yeah. Or if you're on the bottom end, it's $200.
And so just, I think, you know, the fallacy of all this stuff that they've put towards this, how things are going to get better, just nothing is getting better. I mean, you got baseball players making $200 million. Are they worth it or not? I don't know. But why aren't the veterans in some kind of housing that they can live in and not have to go on the street? It's a mental health issue. Well,
right.
Then let's get them the mental health help that they need.
No one wants to address that. There's no advantage to anybody addressing it. It's terrible. It is. Cause
I was talking to some people last weekend, two weekends ago, and we were talking about getting on a cruise ship, and I'm like, oh, my wife will never get on a cruise ship. Her dad was in World War II, went from the Philippines to Japan in a boat. They had all sorts of trouble. The thing was rocking back and forth. Just a piece of shit. And these guys are looking at me and I'm like, do you got anyone you know that was in World War II? Any grandpas or any? No. There's a, this whole younger generation has no idea.
No, they don't.
Obviously, no. You know, there's some Afghan vets and Iraq vets. The Vietnam vets are all old now.
Right.
The World War II guys are gone.
Right.
And I'm thinking, shit, they really don't have any idea what it was like when someone would say, oh, I lost my brother and my dad and my uncle. What? That's not part of our culture anymore.
You know, Tim Conaway on the Month in Review show last Monday, he was talking about this. He's absolutely right. That there's a fundamental difference between the people who were the kids who were protesting in the 1960s and these kids protesting today. First of all, as he said, those protests were actually like organic. They weren't actually organized. It just happened. And also, and this is really important, those kids were actually losing their friends in the war. It was their friends who was fighting the war. We lost 55,000 people in Vietnam. It was basic to make an argument now forever for nothing, because as soon as we pulled out, the North Vietnamese won. We lost the war, and we lost 55,000 people, and Vietnam went communist. It isn't now, but it did then, you know. And whereas these kids have no, it's not even that they don't have any skin in the game per se, literally or figuratively. They don't even, they're not even connected to what they're protesting about.
Right.
It's really, it's weird in a way.
It is. It's something to really think about. Like how do they pick a side when they don't have any clue?
Right. They don't have a clue, and they don't have any skin, you know? We were losing, you know, I don't know, was something like five people a week or something like that, or a fighter a day. I can't remember what it was, you know? And then, so, those kids had a realistic reason for being pissed off. Now, they might not have handled it well, but still, you know, they were legitimately angry. These kids are angry, but they don't even know what they're angry about.
Right, right.
It's just really weird. Okay, so let's end with this. You got a prediction? I've been saying, here's what I've been predicting, that sometime before the election, there's going to be a black swan event. And my prediction right now is that it will not be planned by anybody. It will actually be organic, and it will not benefit Biden. And I'm starting to think it might be the Chicago Democratic Convention. But what do you have any thoughts on this?
I hope nothing happens. I mean, I don't know how our society would be set to have, yeah, something catastrophic happen somewhere where what we believe this government is able to handle, and they can't, you know, I mean, look at these, just look at all this stuff, that plane crash or train crashes, train derailments, this boat that hits the bridge, all this stuff. It could be as much as, you know, just a cyber attack and the internet's down for 5-6 days.
Yeah. Oh, people lose their minds.
Well, I mean, you couldn't funk. You can't.
No.
You're not going to get any money out of the bank.
That's right. You aren't. That's correct.
Because
Yeah. Everything
goes through the internet.
Right.
The grocery stores, after 4 or 5 days, their food's going to be wiped out and then nothing's coming.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's our most, you know, our vulnerability. And plus, we're just a bunch of softies.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we lost power a couple of weeks ago. Some dead tree took down a line, knocked all the lights out on half around the lake. 2 hours. I'd walk, I'd get up, and I'd go flip a light switch. Like, duh.
Uh-huh.
It ain't coming on, dummy.
Yeah.
But it's just that, that's right. Yeah, the power's out. I mean, I got my flashlight and my phone.
Uh-huh. And your phone's going to run out of power.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I can't get the internet.
Right. Man, we're just softies. You're right. My wife.
I hope there's no black swan. I don't like where these two the Republicans are going to Milwaukee. That's like, why did they go to Minneapolis? Why did John McCain have his convention in Minneapolis or in St. Paul?
Yeah, I don't know.
In Minnesota. And why would Trump go to Milwaukee? And the Democrats are just around the corner on the lake there in Chicago.
Well, if it makes any difference, our friend David Strom, he was writing about this today, and he said the kids won't go to the Republican convention to protest because they know that Donald Trump would just shut them down. So in other words, the deterrence factor is really real, and he's right. Sure. Of course they would. The Republicans won't put up with that for shit. I mean, that's the same thing that's been happening in the Southern, at the Southern universities in Texas and North Carolina, where kids have tried this and the administration has shut them down like ASAP, and that seems to have worked. And so he says they'll go to Chicago, not just because they know that Democrats are tolerant, because they truly don't like Joe Biden. There's that too.
Right.
So,
right.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But it seems like all this is almost a rehearsal for that. So, yeah.
Strange times. I'm glad we're living it.
Yeah, right.
For eyewitnesses.
And like I said, we are alive. So
we are.
There's your God, man. I don't care what you say.
That's right.
Hey, Jeffrey, thank you. Thanks for joining us.
All right, Jim.
Oh, hold it. We gotta do something before we leave here. Let's put the Conk front page back on the screen. Hold on. There. Now look, our heads are really small, but the Conk front page is really big. And so, all right. So Jeffrey, you run this thing. Do you want to talk about it, or should I?
I can.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Is that bad that I do my own commercial?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So Conk.com is a news aggregator, not agitator.
Yeah.
I don't touch any of these headlines. These pictures and the headlines come right from the source. We know we have some people out there that like to try to titillate you by ramping up the headlines. My company policy is someone put blood, sweat, and tears to get this article written. It's their headline.
Yeah.
It's their picture. You click on this and you go to their website to read the article. We have about 75 sources. It changes about every 3 hours.
Hey, Jeffrey.
If you see a column where there's a big blank spot, our servers uploaded something that's got a bad photo in it, and it's like being on I-94. There's a traffic jam.
Yeah, right. This actually rolled over. This updated since I put this on an hour ago. Actually, this is actually different now. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so Jim always says, and I couldn't agree with him more, if you try to get through this whole page, I basically have a single page website. There's some other sub pages you can go to, but this is as far as you need to go. I don't ask for your email. I don't charge you to come on to this thing. I love to read the news. There's plenty of places to get a bunch of news of the other side. They have some great news aggregators for themselves. I didn't think the conservatives had conservatives for the small news sources out there. Like 100% Fed Up.
Yeah.
Hot Air, all those guys, they're all great. Come and try it out. Come back a couple times. Tell your friends about it. We'd love to get our web traffic up. We have very few advertisers. In fact, we're going to make some changes here before the middle of the year. We're going to put a promotion up promoting Jim's show here, Jim at Night. I don't need the advertising revenue. I just want people to have a source to find conservative news consistently.
And there's, I mean, I truly mean this. There's no better source. You can't get news better than this. I mean, this is fantastic. It's the best.
And you'll see several headlines that say the same thing because they're from different news sources.
Yeah. Yeah. Although for the reason that they don't usually say exactly the same thing for the very reason they're from. You'll see different stories about the same thing, but yeah, they're different stories. Right. Yeah.
And they'll have different angles.
Right. I know. It's very cool. Yeah.
And Christy Noem shot her dog. See that cartoon? That's a good one.
Yeah. I can't scroll this up or down right now, but yeah, it is. It's a pretty good one. I saw that.
And she even looks good in that cartoon.
Yeah. I guess she does. Yeah. Oh, you know I'm a horn dog.
Yeah.
I'm terrible. Yeah, conk.com. CONK.com. Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. You'll be coming on in a couple of weeks with Jennifer Oliver O'Connell. We're going to see you. You guys are the dynamic duo. So.
Yeah, she owes us one. She skipped us last.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
She'll be all fired up.
That's right. That's right. So anyway, thanks, Guy. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
See ya.
I'll see you. Take care.
Talk to you soon.
That's Jeff Meyer. He's the CEO and publisher of Conk News, and we showed you the front page of Conk News there, and he's right. It's basically a one-page website. They have some other stuff going on there, but the big deal is the front page. Don't have to pay for it. Don't have to register. You go to conk.com and just check it out. And I know we're pushing this hard, but the thing is, it's a really, really good product, and that's the reason, and it's free. So you're not, you know, you'll lose 5 minutes of your time checking it out, and I don't think it's a waste of your time. I don't. So we went on kind of long tonight. I did have something for part three, but I think I'm going to just save it for another time. We're coming back on Monday, Monologue Monday, so we'll have a whole hour and a half to talk about whatever you want, and you guys didn't call in, and you can go fuck yourselves. No, it's like, no, love it when you call in, love it when you do, but too late now, so... you know, that'll wait until Monday. But at least we got the phone back up and running. So I'm glad about that. I mean, we've had some real problems with that the last couple of weeks, but it's working now. So at any rate, yeah, I'm having the first week of June, I'm having hip surgery. I'm getting my hip replaced, my right hip. Yeah, a lot of fun. You know, it's like my mother, who's been on this program before, she's going to be in about 8 weeks. She's going to be 100 years old. She still lives on her own. She had hip surgery. This is ridiculous. She about 15 years ago when she was 85. No, okay. I guess I beat her or she beat me or something like that. I don't know. But whatever. Anyway, yeah. So I haven't decided, I said at the top of the show, I think we're going to take the day of Memorial Day, Monday is it the 28th, I think, off. But we're going to be on the rest of that week. I think that's what we're going to do right now. Because I'm going to have to take the following week off because of the hip. So, yeah, like you care. But, you know, I like the fact you watch. Thank you. It was from the movie Being There. I like to watch. Yeah. So, okay. So, we don't do Fridays here. So, I'll see you on Monday. Good night, Esperanza. Good night, Uncle Donnie. And good night to you, wherever you are. We'll see you on Monday. You have a nice weekend, okay? Take care.